I'm Alisa Lubin, the Innovation Lead in Chicago for Upstart, and you're listening to Collaboratory Conversations. This is a series of short dialogues building off of Upstart and ROI Communities Collaboratory, the Jewish community's largest annual gathering of community visionaries, activists, and catalyzers of change in North America. Today, I'm talking with Matthew Forte, the Managing Director of One Acre Fund. While at Collaboratory, we had the privilege of Matt joining us for an intensive day called Reimagine Boards, an Upstart-run lab that articulated current challenges facing the field of Jewish communal boards of directors and imagined new ideas for board structures and roles. We're very excited for this conversation. So the first step we took in the Reimagine Boards lab was to immerse people in the challenges and the issues around nonprofit boards. This is part of a four-step process, a design process that we use, which helps us get at the root of the problem so that an organization is facing so that we can design solutions with empathy. And all that you were on, that boards are critical for the health and viability of an organization and that that partnership between the board and the leadership is central to the health and viability. Often, it is full of pain points, some of which you mentioned. And many people across the Jewish communal field and even the wider nonprofit world are seeing this. Can you describe a bit of your experience being on a board, working with a board, and particularly where you've seen some of those pain points rise to a head?
For me, I think what I find to be just the most enriching about serving on a board is when you see that you are just, you know, kind of uniquely positioned to add value to the organization and its mission, that, you know, you feel you're not just sort of another person occupying a chair, but that you're literally the best positioned in the world to be helping the organization as a board member. And so, you know, for me, the highlight is when the board really rolls up its sleeves and gets, you know, really engaged and sort of takes its responsibilities seriously, either, you know, proactively identifying critical topics for the organization and its future, or responding to what the executive director and the senior leadership are saying, and really just being willing to answer that call to duty. I think, you know, the low light, you know, is really, or the pain points is really when the opposite happens, you know, disengagement. I recall experiences earlier in my career sitting on boards where the board grew so large and, you know, meetings became so unwieldy that over the course of a few quarters, you started to see attendance and engagement really drop. The organization essentially had to kind of start over with the way in which it ran its board. And so, you don't want to end up that way. I think it really speaks to the importance of, by using the board as a strategy lever for the organization. That to me is generally when you're going to keep the board engaged and excited to be supporting the work of the organization.
That idea or that phrase of the strategy lever, that's really interesting. I've heard you speak previously about the premise of breaking open what a board should be or shouldn't be and a misunderstanding that can happen around that. Could you say a little bit more about that idea of making the board something that addresses the right strategies and not falling into the traps of the should be or should do that often happens?
I definitely see a lot of instances where organizations sort of, you know, mold a board according to just, you know, conventional wisdom. And you know, that might look like, you know, a relatively large board, a board with term limits, a board with a large fundraising requirement. And, you know, none of those in and of themselves are necessarily bad things, but you really want to, I think, work backwards from saying, you know, what is the organization trying to achieve? And then what kind of board or boards or committees or, you know, kind of structure of multiple board-like entities are best going to help the organization achieve what it's setting out to do in the medium and long term? You really want to sort of work backwards from that end goal and then design the board structures around that. At my organization at One Acre Fund, just to give one example, you know, we started, as most organizations do, with a kind of a large fundraising, a give or get requirement for folks to join our board. And we realized what that was doing was screening out a very important segment, which was peer nonprofit leaders in our space who, you know, had their own organizations to worry about when it came to fundraising. And yet those were the folks that we hypothesized, and it turned out to be true, were the best strategists, were the best in really driving the organization's strategy forward at meetings and in between meetings. And so, you know, we kind of changed from that strict give-get requirement to be more about an engagement requirement. And we worked with each individual board member to understand their value-add areas, understand our gaps as an organization, and match the two together. And so, you know, we do have board members that are highly prolific in helping us fundraise, but we also have board members who concentrate their efforts more in areas of finance or advising on program measurement or helping us in talent, you know, recruiting new senior leaders to the organization. So basically, I think we should move away from, you know, what things should be and instead make the board into what the organization kind of needs it to be for its long-term, you know, future.
Great. I'd actually love to dive in with just one more example that I've heard you speak about. I love the example of the give-get and the fundraising. And I believe you've also talked about an example on the financial side of what does it look like to say not all of the people on the board are necessarily the best or the right ones equipped to provide support on the financial sustainability of the organization. And maybe that doesn't need to be something that the board itself is engaged in. Maybe there's another group. Could you potentially dive into what might that look like if an organization wanted to go down that road, just so that people can understand all of the different options that might be out there for them?
One of the things we were finding at our board meetings was that, you know, we would cover finance as a topic, of course, every meeting. You know, how are we performing against our budget? You know, how healthy was our balance sheet looking and so on. And, you know, the board would sort of talk about it, but no one really had the expertise or the interest to kind of dive in and really work as a partner to our CFO in managing the finances of the organization. And what we realized was, you know, our board recruitment process and the intensity of our board requirements. You know, we do meet quarterly. One of those is an in-person meeting that generally requires folks to give up 1 or 2 days of time. That, you know, we were screening out a lot of very advanced finance professionals who didn't have the time or weren't at a point in their career where they wanted the responsibility of being on the sort of official governing board. And so, you know, we decided that and you know, hadn't really seen anyone else do this, but took a chance on creating a separate audit finance committee that not only had board members on it, but actually also had independent committee members who were not members of our board, but were sort of experts, specialists in the finance area. And then, you know, by having at least one committee member who was still on the board, that person served as the bridge from that committee to the full board. And that for us has worked really, really well. It's attracted now two individuals to that committee who would definitely not have wanted the rigor and time required to serve on the full board. So again, I think it just speaks to being creative, to trialing different arrangements, really figuring out what works best for your organization and situation.
That's great. Two really, really helpful examples. You talked about building the board committee structure systems that are going to work best for the organization. And there's no doubt that if an organization is in the position to build from the ground up, that's great. And it's potentially the easiest, smartest, best way to do it. At the same time, a lot of organizations, particularly in the Jewish community, are facing board structures that are decades and decades old. And sometimes the premise of changing what you already have can seem more daunting or more challenging than building from scratch. I'm curious if you have any thoughts or suggestions on how to navigate the change once you already have existing structures or even some of the challenges that might be unique to having to make change from what you already have as opposed to build from new.
Yes, that's a great question, and it's definitely the much more challenging situation for an organization. You know, I think A few thoughts. One would be, you know, I think a board's a really well written and administered board self-assessment process is a great way to start. You know, there are great board self-assessments kind of available online. But, you know, I think sort of, you know, building off of maybe something publicly available, but really tailoring the questions and the process for the unique situation that you may have as an organization, so that you're asking questions that hopefully generate the kinds of dialogue you need about the changes that you think are important, you know, for the board to make. I've also seen organizations use an outside facilitator to do a board self-assessment process, you know, where instead of a questionnaire, board members are individually interviewed. There may be small focus groups, and you know, the facilitator is really skilled at drawing out organically for folks to self-identify some of the problems that the organization's board may be facing. You know, I think that plus, you know, ideally if you know, the executive director and board chair are on the same page, you know, I've often found that is enough to really bring the rest of the board along. And, you know, remember, I it's not an all or nothing when an organization is looking to change its board. You know, I've been through board evolutions where existing board members transitioned to an entity that they were more productive in, whether, you know, some board members became part of a fundraising board, some became part of a board of governors that, you know, met fairly infrequently and more sort of gave inputs rather than having to have the responsibilities and the frequency of the traditional board. So you don't have to necessarily throw out your board members that you have today, but being able to transition to a more focused strategic governing board, if that's what your organization needs, is definitely something that you can do, even if you're in the middle of things.
Great. You know, we've been sort of, I think, approaching this from the perspective of the organizations that are in need of the change. You know, maybe things aren't working as effectively or efficiently as possible. And something that came up at the lab a number of times throughout the day was the premise that not all boards are in disaster mode. Not all
Right.
organizations are coming from a place of dire or desperate need. And so I would love if you could maybe share a little bit of, let's say that your board is functioning well. The premise of still reimagining and reexamining can lead to greater opportunities. Can you dive into that a little bit and maybe highlight what are some of the things that make it beneficial to examine this, even when you're coming from a place of positivity?
Yeah, I mean, I think the best organizations in our sector and the best boards are constantly willing to challenge themselves on how effective they are. And, you know, I think no board wants to sort of sit on its laurels for very long. And so, you know, I think even if the and it's often best to not, to be honest, try to affect a major board structure change when you're in a crisis situation, because that's when things are actually going to be the most difficult and the most tense, but rather to, you know, to try to do it from a position of strength, but one that's more forward looking to how the organization and the board can get better. You know, I can kind of share one example where, you know, we on the organization's board that I run, we reflected with the board last year that, you know, our sort of single biggest constraint on growth had sort of shifted from a few years back when it was kind of opportunities on the ground and partnerships. Then it had shifted to kind of raising resources, and now we were in a new spot where recruiting you know, particularly diverse leaders to our senior management team and you know, filling roles more quickly had become, you know, talent basically had become the number one constraint on our growth. And we really sat down with our board and challenged the board around what more it could do on this topic. And we did some creative things. We actually spent some meeting time in kind of a talent hackathon where we asked board members to open up their LinkedIn accounts and actually literally right then and there search, feeding search terms, actually search for folks in their network who we might be able to reach out to apply for roles. We asked board members to be open to 30-minute quarterly calls with us to review our senior roles and let us sort of dive into their networks with them over the phone. So, you know, I think we, our board was functioning quite well. This was an area that most boards don't usually weigh in on, but I think to our board's credit, they were willing to take that leap with us once we identified that this was, you know, from our strategic plan, that this was our number one kind of gap area.
Great. I'm curious, what questions are people not asking that you think would be helpful to surface as they are thinking about their boards and their organization, the partnership between lay leader and professional? You don't necessarily need to have the answers. I'm just wondering, if you were to want people to be asking more of these questions, what might that be?
That's, I think, really important, is to ask, you know, when was the last time our board engaged at a really meaningful level with the constituents or the beneficiaries of the organization? You know, again, board members' time is so scarce that you would generally want to spend most of it, you know, sitting in a room and doing, you know, the governance and strategy and fundraising responsibilities of the board. But, you know, really having the board authentically engaging on a regular basis with beneficiaries and constituents, you know, whether it's part of board meeting time or outside of board meeting time, is definitely a question I would ask. You really want to be sending your board to kind of, you know, the factory where the work happens, or you know, obviously the equivalent for your organization. I think a second one would probably be around board succession, particularly board chair succession. So for organizations who are, you know, highly dependent on the board chair, and or, you know, a small portion of board members who disproportionately contribute to the board's success, you know, I would just be asking if you know, one or two of those highest value board members had to unexpectedly leave the organization, you know, could the board survive? Could the organization survive? And that I find that often forces you to be thinking about succession in a different way. You know, having a vice chair, for instance, that's attached to the board chair and shadowing him or her and learning the responsibilities would be one example. But yeah, those would be, I think, two important questions.
Great. And this is going to be our last question. If I'm listening to this podcast and I'm wanting to make one to two concrete changes to my board and its relationship with, let's say, the staff or the volunteers or some other group, we keep bringing up this notion of that partnership. What would you suggest in terms of maybe where to start with one or two solid changes at the outset?
Yeah, so I think really the biggest one would just be to almost kind of line up the board's, you know, the board meeting agendas of, you know, the last few meetings, and really line that up with what the executive director and the senior leadership are sort of saying are the biggest opportunities and challenges for the organization, and just seeing if they line up. Again, I think a lot of times, you know, boards do have serious governance and fundraising responsibilities that absolutely have to get done. But I would say, you know, if there's one concrete change, it would probably be determining how you can find more time, create more time within your board meeting schedule to have those strategy and generative discussions as an organization. I think, you know, then probably the second one, as you mentioned, with staff and volunteers, you know, again, the same point around the organization's beneficiaries and constituents, is just, you know, how much exposure is the board really getting to those groups, and, you know, finding ways to facilitate the dialogue so the organization doesn't feel detached from the board and doesn't feel like the board is sort of a distinct entity that is managed on the side by the executive director, that instead it's sort of central to the pulse of the organization and what it's trying to accomplish.
Great. Matt, listen, thank you so much for joining us today, being a part of this conversation, both initially during the Reimagine Boards Lab at Collaboratory and then continuing today with me. The examples that you have shared will no doubt be incredibly helpful to a number of people listening and trying to take on these ideas and these challenges themselves for their organizations and their boards. It's been a pleasure chatting with you. For those of you listening, to find out more about One Acre Fund, where Matt is the managing director, you can visit oneacrefund.org. To find out more about Upstart and how we help expand the picture of how Jews find meaning and how we come together, go to upstartlab.org
and sign up for our email list. Thanks for listening.